So he kept saying outside. I was like, "Do you want to go outside?" He's like, "Yeah, let's go." So we got dressed, we got out there, and I prepared a bucket of water and Windex and gloves, ripped up a towel, put on a pop playlist from Apple Music.
Jesus. What the hell? You're playing a part. Now I'm white down the swing set, mommy. Where's my playlist for the montage? Where at some point you like throw the soapy towel at one of your sons and they're
You get for getting in the way.
No, it's with laughter because in movies nobody's ever worried about all the mess you're making. It's like this is fun. It's like who's gonna clean that shit up? It's equivalent of us running into the Pacific Ocean and then running back laughing for no reason. We were going to be hanging on the beach, but this is so much fun. Crazy. And then there's always a reason to kind of like crane your neck and like put your hand like on the back of your neck, just like, oh, like, do you think that's something, but the wind is blowing too hard? Something's going to splash the back of your neck and you're protecting yourself.
Oh, you
But it's
just,
also funny.
your neck just needs extra support right at that
Yeah, like,
moment for some
I need
reason.
support for my neck right here. And turn to my good.
Where's my
Oh.
friend? Let's find each other, cling hands together, and just
Yeah.
laugh maniacally.
Oh my goodness. No one has good balance. They're all like linking arms. Oh, it's like you people are a nightmare. Stand up and walk.
They're just bowled over by the sheer satisfaction of this
You should
happening right
be.
now.
When we go to the beach, we're both beaten to death by strangers. But today is fun. I think we got into that conversation maybe at Old Navy once, but I'm like, I didn't know that anybody else thought about that. Like, what are you laughing
And see, that's why I'm asking the question, why are we so cynical about this stuff specifically? Like,
I don't
what happened in your experience and mine as well?
I don't know. I mean, is it cynical or is it, I mean, it was just an observation. Like, why do they always do that?
Because it's not just why do they always do that? I mean, you're asking why they do it because it makes no sense. Like, we were there. There was no real legitimate reason for us to behave in that way, except for us to act like that because we find it crazy. And then we photographed it.
Anita Charisse.
And in this podcast, we have a frank, honest, and open conversation about the FX show Atlanta. We have noticed that there are similar characteristics or features in each show. And during our discussion, we offer our impressions on what those features are. There's a That's So Atlanta moment in each episode that most clearly and accurately depicts the spirit or quirk that is Atlanta and/or is life in the American South.
We ordinarily have Dariusisms, which highlight the special flavor the character Darius brings to the show. But since Darius was not in this episode, we have plenty of time to talk about Bibby and his Bibbyism.
There always seems to be a mystical element or some strange thing that happens beyond all logical reason and sometimes scientific explanation. We've all experienced them.
And finally, the SGR moment is very plainly the moment in each show when shit got real, and we are reminded that life is not a game and desperation has the power to motivate any and every possible action. The title of this episode is Barbershop. In pursuit of a haircut, Alfred rides shotgun as his barber takes him on a hustler's adventure.
Okay, before we get into this, can I just say I had a change of heart about last episode.
Yes, I know.
And I think what happened is I watched this episode, and you know how FX premieres the show, and then it does an encore of last week's, and then an encore of this week's. So I stayed and watched last week's, and it just had a completely different mood to me, because I didn't start off wondering, well, what the hell is Earn going to do this time? And also, I was so annoyed with Bibby that Earn seemed like a regular guy. And I saw things a little bit more from his perspective. At the beginning of the show, you could tell he was excited about spending time with Van, that he was looking forward to it. You even mentioned last episode that he got out of the car smiling. And so there was this air of happy, excited anticipation. And then a series of unfortunate events happened, and he was just not cool. And it included Van kind of playing into it when she was talking with that dude at the bar in German, and they were talking about him in another language that he couldn't understand. I could see why he was like, this language is stupid, you know? Like, I just, there were things that she did that did not help the situation. And then I got the sense that when he was just not down for participating on any level anymore at that point, and then they started chanting waddle hod, or whatever it was, and then she was suddenly surrounded by all of them, she suddenly became the blackest person there. So now I kind of got the sense that she used him in that way to make herself a little bit more comfortable in that situation, which is not cool.
The scene when she was speaking German with, I think his name was Lucas, with the bartender. Yeah, that was definitely messed up, and it was meant to make him feel like an outsider, because they didn't even put any subtitles up. Like, okay, we're experiencing this along with Earn, not knowing what's going on. But you knew that they were talking about him, and then when he made his comment, she said something to him, and it sounded like she was apologizing for him. I figured, yeah, that's messed up what she's doing. She's mad. It wasn't right. It wasn't the best way to handle that. But that stood out to me as, okay, now she's, you know, she's upset. Because if I'm not mistaken, that was right after he had the genius idea to just, in that crazy game, and just put the balls in the jug, and everybody went crazy. And they were looking at it as this fantastic thing that they've never seen happen. And she was just, you got lucky. Because, you know, she knew, you know, he wasn't being serious about it or didn't care. And I figured she just did that thing. I mean, that was a messed up move. But because she was angry, like, she didn't even try to, like, oh, hey, this is Earn. You know, like, if she had done that, then he probably wouldn't have felt as left out. I mean, you always feel left out if you don't speak the language. But I think her anger prevented her from at least trying to include him and at least introducing him to Lucas, or just, you know, having some part of the conversation in English. So it was totally like her baby moment. But I mean, I was seeing everything more from her point of view. But even not seeing her point of view, you're right. Like, he shut down and decided to stop trying. But the feeling that I had was like, yeah, I guess he's just fine. But it's kind of like when somebody's been doing something like over and over again, or making the wrong choice, it's like, yeah, I can't give you this one though, because you kind of deserve it. Well, really, the episode was extremely uncomfortable, because I think that we've all had some version of this happen. It was very real. The conversations were the most awkward and uncomfortable, you know, that I've seen on TV. But what solidified Earn's sometimes uselessness to me was how at the end you could tell that he either hadn't taken her seriously about what the result of their ping pong game would be. Like, you could tell that it was like, okay, you know, that's over. He was like happy to be heading home, because when they got to her apartment and she just kind of has the attitude like, okay, you know, bye. And then to me, he's like fumbling for something to say. And then he's like, you know, I'm going to go and pick up Lottie. She's at mom's. And she's like, all right, cool. And they're just standing there. And I'm like, he really didn't think that anything was going to change. And I guess, you know, I mean, I'm projecting, but it's like, we've all been there, and that annoyed me. So yeah, I totally get it, you know. And it was obvious. Like, I don't think she hid that she was using him, because that's why she wanted him to dance. Because she said Dave can't dance, and it's going to drive Christina crazy. And we've already identified Christina as somebody that you could see her having a friendship with, but it's kind of a rivalry too. So like, yeah, there was a part of that, but I don't know, Earnin messed up too much, and I was just like, oh god.
And see, that's it. I think if we would have seen the barbershop episode before we saw that episode, we might not be done with Earn. I mean, I'm not done with him.
No, you're not. I am. You know, Donald Glover, he's doing exactly what he's setting out to do. I don't think that the vast majority of us are supposed to be like, oh my God, you know, I see myself in Earn. He speaks for me. I don't think that it's meant to be that way. I think what a lot of us are feeling, I mean, it's provocative, you know, we're not going to all feel the same way, but he's made some, like, a lot of missteps. And what's frustrating is you would think that he would have figured it out by now, you know, or this other thing just happened. Why wouldn't you look at that as like a cautionary tale and do something different? And he doesn't do that, but that's real life. But yeah, Bibi will make you see the best in anybody. Bibi needs to die.
The complaint I have about this episode is that I don't think it should be called Barbershop. It was really about the antics of a specific barber. And you know the barbershop culture. You know the beauty salon culture. You know, it's been highlighted in movies and television before, but so much goes on there. The conversations, the event promotions, that's where you find out where the next big concert is going on, you know, or who's coming to town. Every type of person comes through, from your executives to your celebrities to your fresh out of jail, to your dads, to your teachers, to your accountants. Everybody goes through the barbershop. So it's like the black town center. And then people come through selling stuff, whether it was hot or not. You don't know. But you could get a good deal and haggle there. Like, it's very, very, very important to the black community. So I felt like I anticipated, when I found out what the name of the show was, I thought they were going to go into that, you know, and highlight the barbershop, right, the salon culture, but they didn't. They focus on Bibi, who, I mean, admittedly, he reminded me of my barber when I used to have one, Emmanuel's barber now, and so many of the barbers I've come to know. So he was kind of like an aggregate of the worst thing about barbers. And it cracked me up. I love this episode. I loved it.
It was funny. Like, I watched it by myself and then Lance watched it with me, and like he cracked up. I mean, because everybody knows that situation, but when I first watched it and Alfred says that he has a photo shoot, that kind of took me to the other episodes. Just looking at the things that he's doing in order to build his career, and I was happy for him. Like, okay, you know, good, great. So my frustration was right there with Alf. They didn't specify, okay, is he getting spruced up because the photo shoot is later that day, or it's the next day? Like, I just knew that there was going to be a point in the episode when someone called Alfred and told him that it was off because he was so late. My mind just went to, like, I don't believe that this baby person is about to ruin it for him now. He can't seem to get ahead. So, and I've said this before, but Brian Tyree Henry plays exasperated so well.
Yes.
And frustrated. It's all on his face. And I felt it with him. When it first opens and he's sitting there and then the guy comes in and Baby's on his Bluetooth and Alfred thinks that he's talking to him and he's not. And then when he is talking to him, Alfred doesn't pay attention because he didn't think that he was in the conversation. And the guy kind of like responds to him like, you know, yeah, come on, I'm talking to you. Just that right there, I wanted to stop. Because I have been in that situation before. Like, I've had some stylists that were not so good as far as valuing your time, even a little bit. We all run late and we all have things happen. But when you show up like an hour and a half, like, and you don't even acknowledge it, that's messed up. Because I could have rushed here on two wheels because I'm trying to appreciate your time and you don't do the same thing. Like, my stylist now is not like that. But I've had a few. And they come in and there's no like, hey, I'm so sorry. At least Bibi lied about the toilet being backed up. And then he says something like his girlfriend hid all of the plungers because she didn't trust him around rubber and
lie.
Wood. Like,
ain't none of that happened.
Yeah.
This fool lied his ass off.
None of that happened.
See, Emmanuel's experiencing that right now with his barber, Chris. And I was going to Chris for a little while, too, because when I had the frohawk, I had to get my sides trimmed up. First of all, the first time he cut my hair, I was like, Chris, you know what? You're a great guy, and I would love to hang out with you. I'm here to get my hair cut, not to chop it up with you, not to catch up. We don't need no conversation, because I see that you can't cut hair and talk at the same time. So let's just focus on the one. So I was one of the only clients. I sit in that chair. He stops talking. And one time, you know, somebody said, why you get all quiet? I gotta cut this customer's hair. Why? Because I tip. Okay? So one time he showed up, because I was like, look, I'm trying to get my hair cut before I go to school. I can't miss, as to be like, I'm paying for this. So I came in there. He hadn't showed up yet. I went to the next barber. in the next chair. It's like, I don't have time to fuck around. You can't mess up shaving my head, the side of my head. There's no way to mess that up, okay? I got hair on top. I know how to style it to cover it up. You're going to do a much better job than I would. Let's do it. He charged $15, so I was like, oh, I saved $5? Great. I will come to you from now on. You know, Chris and that dude had beef.
How is he going to have beef, that guy? Because he was there. You need to look in the mirror.
And we came in there at the same time one Saturday, Emmanuel to get his hair cut, me to get mine. And so I went and sat down in the next barber's chair as Chris, like, did a double take. And then I knew after I left there was going to be drama. So Chris asked, hey, what happened? Nikki pissed off or something? You know, what happened? You know, what's wrong? The price and everything? And Emmanuel's like, you can't waste the time. Do not waste the time. Then he went and had words with the other barber. Don't be poaching customers and everything. Like,
that dude didn't beg you.
No.
He didn't. You have free will.
But I'm just like that song, that Chris Brown song. I am not loyal.
Oh my God, you're the hoe. It's you.
It's me. In terms of stylists and barbers, I am not loyal. Like, I don't care. My mom has had the same hairstylist for the past 30-something years. It's because she's like, Tracy does my hair. Tracy does it well. But Tracy also takes 8 hours to do your head. You could come in, you know, with an appointment at 6. She's doing 5-6 heads simultaneously. I don't have time for that. I can't. And I knew when Bibby started in with his mess that Alfred's hair was going to look tight. There's the only reason why you would put up with that is because, and they know, he even said, you don't want nobody else in here cutting your hair. He knew that Alfred was going to tolerate anything he threw at him because he got his hair cut down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when he started on Alfred and then later on when he's cutting the little boy's hair, you can see like his cutting skills are like nothing like his
overall persona, like, and demeanor otherwise.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, yeah. Because it's like, okay, this man must be good. But it's also interesting how it just kind of falls in line with the things that seem to happen to Alfred, where he's not a guy that you can get over on. But it's interesting to me how sometimes, like, just watching certain scenes, you think it will go one way because of his persona. You know, I mean, we always talk about how Earn is not the alpha male. Okay, well, I would think that Alfred is, but there are choices, there are decisions that he makes that surprise me. I would not have thought that. I mean, I understood why he was letting it go on, because I've been in that situation. This is crazy, but this person knows what they're doing. But by the time he grabbed him at the end, I would have thought that would have happened much earlier. You know, the same thing with the episode where he was robbed by his choir. Like, the whole time it's happening, it's like, it doesn't seem like he would let this happen. Like, there are so many things where it's like he actually controls himself, or he doesn't respond the way that you would just assume. That continues to surprise me. And so I wonder sometimes, is he making these decisions because, not because he's not hard, but because, you know, he actually does think before he reacts? Or is it because he's on probation, you know, so he kind of has the wherewithal to think about, okay, cause and effect. You know, if I do this, then this might happen and this might happen. Because there have been many times where I'm like, why did you let that guy take your keys and then make you walk while he apologized to you and drove slowly beside you? Why haven't you murdered this barber yet? He surprises me sometimes with the decisions. Not that I'm disappointed. It's like, okay, you know, I would have thought that he would have done this, but he didn't. And like, even at the end, when he grabbed him, Lance was watching it, and before he grabbed him and he said that he had to go get something out of his truck, Lance was like, man, I'll grab. And as soon as he said that, that's exactly
what he did.
What Alfred did. But I really thought he was going to also go over that balcony.
I'm wondering if this is being written in such a way where it's making us question our own assumptions about who and what Alfred should be.
Most definitely.
He's a big black guy. So is every big black guy supposed to be tough and throw people around and constantly get into fights just because they're a big black guy? No. And I remember with my nephew, he was always like easily the tallest person in his class. And because of that, a lot of older kids thought that he was older than what he was, so he'd get picked on by the older kids. But also, the kids his age, for whatever, they would also try to challenge him because he was the biggest one. So I think a lot of times things like that happen to big black men, and it It's not that it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Society makes assumptions about who and what a big black guy is and what they should do, how they should behave. And that's not fair to them.
No, it's not. But that's why I was saying, you know, I expect it to go one way. Now, in this case, not just because he's a big black guy, but like Bibby deserved to have something happen to him. But then also, if you think back to the club episode in season one, when that guy reminds me of Bibby in his ability to get away, the club owner or the promoter, where at some point when Alfred realized what was happening, he attacked him. That wasn't smart. You can sometimes see his wheels turning. I need to be smart. I think that that's part of it. But then, yeah, I think that myself, like I expect a certain thing because it's like, okay, we've been presented with this character, you know, he sells drugs. Of course, I don't have the usual assumptions because we've gotten to see him as a person. And I also know how that works, so I'm smart enough not to think that. But there have been times where I'm like, oh, I'm surprised that he didn't choose to handle it this way or that way. So for me, I know that it's challenging the way that I think. And then on top of it, I wonder how much just the being on probation and like really trying to lay low so that he can accomplish what he's trying to accomplish. Like, I wonder how much of that plays into his decision making as well, which is smart.
Overall, as black people, probably surprise ourselves with how patient we are with our own. Case in point, Stevante Clark.
Oh, he trumps Bibby. That's how bad it is.
But he did apologize. He came back and apologized.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he apologized about cutting up in that city council meeting. And he apologized to the mayor. So maybe
funny.
Somebody over.
To the mayor.
Yeah, he apologized to the mayor. Because he really wants this recreational center to be built. He's really gunning for it.
Which is wonderful. Which is great. It's just like, dude. I hope that there's somebody there, and maybe this is the fact that he's apologizing is evidence that there's somebody there that can kind of guide him. You know, because I think it's he's grieving, and we are all tired of this. But some of it is just like, okay, this is starting to become about you. The world we live in will take any chance that they can to not pay attention to the real issue. And now you are just tap dancing and handing it to them.
Yeah.
On a platter, basically. Like, you are saying, okay, like, let's talk about me. And then we'll have, like, think pieces on, you know, scarves to wear around your head, and not like why this man is shot so many times and was
in
not
the back,
on
in his grandmother's backyard.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Detour.
Let's take a break for a message from an exclusive Rappin' Atlanta sponsor.
On an all-new Unvoiced, it was their destiny to be the best child singing group ever. They were fate's offspring, and nothing could stop them from going straight to the top.
I have no doubt in my mind they were going straight to the top.
But the top was just a little too far out of reach.
It wasn't but one thing standing on the path, on the way to the top. That's right, it's my dogs in there.
Which is why they never quite got all the way to the top.
I've been told that we got like 85% of the way to the top. They want to hear what I have to say. I was not kicked out of the group.
Don't miss Fate's Offspring and their struggle to the top on the next Unvoiced, Friday night at 8 on Black Video 1.
Anyway, where were we? Bibby. There were the usual elements in the show, but God, I mean, just Bibby alone. He, him lying like that, saying he was on the freeway and all of that. He lied every chance he could get, like he didn't know how not to lie. The way that he talked about Alfred while he was sitting there in the chair, he getting kind of hostile. I kind of go, I have witnessed that in person. That is real.
Oh, my God.
I had this barber who would kind of like throw out something to gauge where I stood on the issue. And if he felt like, oh, she cool, so I'm going to go ahead and go knee deep into it. That's how he did the T-Mobile thing. Did you see on the news? Well, yeah, I got the hookup if you need it.
Yeah, you're right. 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 And then, did you notice when he said, did you see on the news those savages in Atlanta? And Alfred kind of like, you know, he kind of does a double take. And Miles like, savages. Like, is he? Because, like, that's usually something that you hear from people who are not us to reference us. And it's like, wait, huh? I didn't notice it the first time. I noticed it the second time I watched it. That Alfred, he answers him and he says something like, you know, yeah, it's getting to be that time. You know, it's crazy out here. But he kind of mouthed like, savages. Like, Wait, really?
You know, and that, like, that was interesting. Like, I've experienced that too, where it's like, okay, you know that you're black too, right? Like, where is this coming from? It's kind of like a glimpse. Like, how do you see yourself?
It's purely to fill you out. And let me tell you, my barber, Mr. Lee, he did that every single time I sat in his chair. Every single time. He would be like, man, you know, people in Atlanta are crazy. You know, they got this swinging culture out here, you know, where just anything goes. It's crazy. And I was about to say, yeah, it happens. You know, people live how they live. They do what they want. Next thing he told me was, yeah, well, I've been to one of them swinging clubs. It's cool.
It's like, okay, so you were just trying to see if I was down. By the way, I don't want to discuss this with you.
You can wind up talking about anything and everything in the shop. It's like the ultimate hangout, which is why Bibby was quite comfortable pulling out his apple and leaning up against it. I've seen that too. I know for some people, it is like the spa, you know, for them. They go and they luxuriate in the freedom of being away from home and wife and kids and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at the beauty salon for that. I am not at the barbershop for that. So, and neither was Alfred. He was there to get his hair cut and him out.
The guy, it baffled me. It shouldn't have, but it baffled me how he was not listening to Alfred at all. He had to tell him at least 3 times the usual, and then Bibby had the nerve to be like, all right, man, damn. It's like, I wanted to kill him, like the actor.
But you know what? I've also seen customers change their minds. It'd be like, oh, if I just get the usual. And then they'll be leafing through a magazine or whatever, or looking around. They see a picture on the wall. Oh, better yet, let me try that.
I understand that, but you could see Bibby not listening. Like, he would ask him, and then he'd start, like, doing something else. Like, what's the next dumb thing that I should do? I caught it like the second time watching, like, he's not listening. Like, he's asking him, like, it'd be one thing if he was like, okay, I'm just making sure, you know, because I'm getting ready to do this. No, he was just like, kind of like, he kept doing things to occupy Alfred while he got away. Like when he told him to watch the video, he gives it to Alfred like a toddler and then says, I'm going to the bathroom. Like, he kept doing things. It's like a bait and switch. And so he would do the same thing with, like, at least one of the times when he asked him what he was getting, he just did that to, like, buy time. Because, like, you could see Alfred telling him, and he's, like, fooling with his phone or, like, spreading out a towel or getting the apple. And it's like, this dude, like, he's going through the motions, but he's not listening. He was so infuriating. Like, he did his job as far as an actor.
Who plays that guy again?
His name is Robert Powell Jr., I believe, and he's a stand-up. He played that, like, from experience. And it like, I just wonder, like, how much of it he was making up on his own, too, because there was a scene where they get in the car, and, of course, Alfred is so annoyed, and he can't get the seatbelt, and he's like, it's like a throwaway line. He's like, oh, yeah, that seatbelt doesn't really work. But it's like one of those things, like, that's just another thing that you should have told me. Like, you suck, Bibby.
Okay. So Robert Powell III is a stand-up comedian, political satirist, and actor. Born in Monroe, Louisiana, Robert attended University of Louisiana at Monroe before getting his master's degree in political science from Texas Christian University. After graduating, Robert worked as the deputy chief of staff for Mayor James E. Mayo. Upon moving to the state capitol, Robert became a special assistant under Governor Bobby Jindal.
Oh my God.
Even as a rising star on the Louisiana political scene, Robert's desire to become a stand-up comedian put him at a crossroads, and his superiors in the governor's office gave him an ultimatum, either comedy or politics. Thankfully, Robert chose comedy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. So he is a Louisiana boy.
Yes. So my husband noticed this lack of continuity in filming. So I'm like, okay, warning y'all down at Atlanta, production crew, come on y'all. So the first thing that Emmanuel checks out on a barber is the way his face is shaven. And if he's got like a good lineup, then he knows what he's doing. He can like edge up his face really good. If he cuts his own hair and he can cut up the back really good, that's the barber you want to go to. So he noticed that his face was clean shaven in the shop, but in the truck, he's got a full beard. And it switches back and forth a couple of times because they switch back and forth between the truck scenes and the house and the barbershop scenes and so on.
So that's our mystical element. Got it.
Hair is and growing back and being shaved off. You are so stupid.
The mystical element. It happens to all of us. We said so.
Okay. Is he a cheapskate or broke ass? Because he has snuck into the movies with his girlfriend. He's got two side hustles. He doesn't remember whether or not he's paid bills. He stole money from his girlfriend. We watched him do it. He stole that wood for whatever reason. And how he gonna offer to take you to Zaxby's and then treat you to some leftovers at his work site?
Oh my God. Now, okay, and this is why I couldn't wait for my husband to watch this episode, because he used to do hand demolition and has been on his share of housing construction sites. And the first thing he said, like, there were so many things that he called out that I didn't get. Like when he said, you know, I dabble in construction, I was like, okay, he dabbles in construction, but this dude is a liar. So like maybe he's gonna steal something
and sell it
from this site. Cause like, yeah, right, for his own thing. Or like maybe he does have a company and he's just, you know, something. But as soon as they showed him turn onto the street, or they showed the neighborhood, Lance was like, he's about to steal. That is not his site, and he's been stealing from there regularly. That's how he knows that there's food. And that's like, there were so many things that he called out. Like when they got to his girlfriend's house, which I'm not sure which girlfriend this is, but when they got to her house, and he started to set up, you know, Lance was like, he's gonna cut the little boy's hair first.
Yeah.
And the first time I watched it, I didn't see that happening. And when she was saying like, you're late, you know, I just thought, like, I don't know, like maybe he was supposed to be home with the boys so that she can go somewhere. I had no, but they used to deal with people stealing from sites constantly. Like somebody even tried to call the police on him and his worker, you know, because they're black, and they assumed that they were stealing, but it was their site, you know. But he called that. He's like, people steal from construction sites, especially when you don't secure things. It's probably a nice area, so they felt like they didn't have to secure it. But that's exactly why he goes to that area and why he knows that site and knows where that food is. I was like, this is ridiculous. He said he's been scouting it. And Bibby, I mean, I don't think he's broke. I think he's just, it's that kind of thing like where he probably could afford a lot of the things, but he's stealing it because he can. Like you even said like a little bit ago, it's like he can't help lying. You know, did you notice that when he offered Alfred a toothpick, he said 50 cents?
Yes.
Like for the toothpick, like what?
He offered him gum, and the toothpick was charging for it. The thing is, okay,
are you a bathroom attendant?
That's why I said, are you a cheapskate or a broke ass? Because it's always about hustling with him, but you don't know why.
Yeah.
He's got these kids, okay, so he's got to be working because he's not with his baby's mother or his first kid's mother, Lamar. He's got this girlfriend. I knew when she called him and he packed up his gear, he had to go cut somebody at somebody else's house. I knew it. I knew Alfred's hair was not going to get cut. He kept Alfred there so he wouldn't go and sit in somebody else's chair. He was just trying to say. And I'm like, you talking about always being broke. If you would just stay in your shop, stop lying to people, and focus on cutting hair, you'd be cool. But the thing is, he probably is making money anyway, because say you take 20 minutes, say you even take an hour, right? You get $20 and maybe a $5 tip. That's $25 for an hour work. But sometimes when you're on one and you got those heads flowing, you could be making $20 every 20 minutes. So he's doing all right. That truck was clean. He's in charge of paying his girlfriend's bills, the water bill. He couldn't remember whether or not he's probably paying a whole bunch of people's bills and can afford it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, he's not paying that particular girl's bills though.
Because her water got cut off.
I mean, he's just the water and the power, which bought, like, I wrote down like a couple of my favorite lines.
Me too.
Were, and it was when the little boy, well, you know, Bibby lied and told the lady, which she upset me a lot, that Alfred was a magician. And so when the lights went off, he was like, is this your trick? I
was like, why? And poor Alfred. I still say that Carmelita had jaundice.
Had jaundice, yes. Like, what? But why did she...
I don't understand why he was allowed to walk out of that house after he took money out of your purse. And it's not like he got out without you seeing him. You saw it. And then the tone of her voice was more like, I know you're not stealing from me. I'm like, okay, this is all wrong.
Like, yeah, she looked like no. She was the type to hit him in his head and take her money back.
Yeah, but she didn't.
Well, she did owe him for that haircut, though.
Okay, stop.
When he called that lady an age lady, I was done.
It's like certain things, I'm like, I know he hasn't improvised that.
Yes, the Nicklet thing. One of the funniest things, funniest line was said by Lamar, his son. He was like, you look like a Super Saiyan. Like,
not that Bibi is rich, but the way that he hadn't paid the woman's bills, like, yeah, it could be because he's paying, like, lots of water bills, and lots of power bills, but he also he's not responsible, so he seems like the type, like, I have the money, but I'm just not gonna pay it, like, just cause. I mean he's a thief, he's a criminal, you know. He took money from her, and then he seems so surprised that people are upset with him. Like, what's wrong? We had a good day. And the way he said, go inspire the youth, I died.
Just like all the beauticians and all the barbers you've ever gone to, whether they did a good job or not, whether they got you out on time or not, you still like them as a person. They were likable.
Oh, yeah. They're cool people. You kind of have to be, you know, in that profession, because people don't have to choose you. So there needs to be something, you know, something attractive about you or something personable. So, yeah, they're usually like likable people, but there are some people where it's like, I don't want my fate tied up with yours. Like, I don't want anything in my life to depend on whether or not, like, at the top of your game today.
He's that. But okay, so when he hit that woman, I hit somebody and they got out of the car screaming like that, I would have driven off too. I wanted her to run that lady off. Like, shut up, you are not hurt that bad.
The way the shot looked when she got out and she was holding her back for a second, it looks like she's pregnant. Just because, yeah, she's doing that pregnant woman, like, my back. And I was like, oh, my God. Like this is, like, really, really serious. And then she's, and then she's like, wait, they're actually leaving? And I'm like, okay, I don't feel sorry for her. That was messed up, though.
No, he should not have hit her. And then endangered his passenger. Alfred's seatbelt didn't work afterwards. Did anybody else pee a little when we hit that lady?
But before that, asking Alfred to get into the driver's seat. For what? Oh, my God. The most infuriating person on TV.
I hated him and loved him so much.
But for me, that's the Atlanta moment was, I mean, it was his character, you know. And it's Barbara's period. I mean, it's not just Atlanta, but we know that Atlanta means black. So the hustling barber, I mean, you know, he's got his iPhone thing, his T-Mobile thing. He charges for toothpicks. He's stealing lumber from construction sites regularly, according to my husband. He's got his street team thing going on, you know, that blessed $35. And then his clear cable racket. And he's so proud of himself for spelling cable with K. And then you can kind of hear at the end when Alfred comes in and is going to the other chair, you can hear him talking to his customer. And he mentions, like, he's like, yeah, these aren't the kind that are just like three random movies strung together. Like, and he named like a couple of titles. I've got to write it down. But it sounds like he sells DVDs too, like compilation. He is constantly hustling. So that's so Atlanta moment for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's so black.
Right. That's so black.
Those type of hustlers live all over the country. So for me, that's so Atlanta moments, there was three of them. The subdivision in which Big's girlfriend lived, the design of the house, the lack of the fences, the foliage and greenery around the house. I can always tell when something's been shot on location in Atlanta or in the metro Atlanta area, because that's exactly how it looked. The fact that they mentioned Zaxby's chicken joint. Zaxby's is headquartered in Athens. I didn't know that place was only 27 years old, but it's pretty young. But yeah, Zaxby's locations all over Atlanta. The T-Mobile robbers in the news. Yeah, that's a regular thing. The most popular story that you'll find on the internet now about T-Mobile robberies. It happened in 2012 in Gwinnett County. And remember, we looked at houses out there. Man, Gwinnett County is off the hook. Somebody always getting shot or robbed in Gwinnett County. Between Gwinnett and DeKalb, we're like, no, we're not living there. We're not sending the kids there because it's just trouble. But yeah, there were a slew of T-Mobile robberies in Gwinnett back in the day, and it still goes on.
Wow.
Yeah. My husband told me recently about the cigar shop getting robbed. So somebody robbed the cigar shop recently and didn't know anything about cigars because they only took the cash out of the register. But if they would have actually taken the cigars, they could have gotten away with thousands upon thousands instead of a couple of $100.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So all you thieves out there, study whatever you're going to hit. Study it so you know how to, like, you know, make it count.
Hone your craft, people.
Yes, anything worth doing is worth doing well, including robbing. That's one to grow on.
We are always there for the kids. Rapping Atlanta, love the kids. The mystical element for me was, and I think I said this already, but it was Bibby himself, because Bibby reminded me of the club promoter or owner from episode 8, which is the same episode with the invisible car, I think.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Like, Bibby kind of turned into just something that'll get away if you're not looking at him hard enough, or it's like a little video game character. But I was like, it's giving me that same vibe of like how he keeps not really tricking Alfred. I mean, because Alfred was with him the whole time, but like that what he actually tried to pull at the end, saying that he left something in his truck. And I'm like, man, this dude just lies. Like, he just lies to you. You know, it was almost like he's a figment of your imagination. The way he would disappear at will, he just wasn't as smooth.
Yeah, he miraculously got away with everything until the SGR moment, which is when Alfred hemmed him up. I think another mystical element was the way he did Alfred's hair. His hair looks so good.
Yeah, yeah. And it was nice to actually see that highlighted. Like, that's not anything that's new to us. You know, we've all seen, like, the sponge kind of brush thing. But, you know, to see in barbershops and men getting their hair done, you know, I mean, they don't call it that. But, like, it actually showed it as the art that it really is. I mean, it looked really, really good, you know, and you could tell when he saw the result, he was pleased, and you saw how talented Bibby was. Mm-hmm. I'm used to seeing, you know, things with women's hair or it being shot, like, the person who's shooting this, like, really, really wants you to see the dedication and the skill that it takes. But I myself have never seen that highlighted for men. Bibby is good at what he does. I mean, we suspected that because, I mean, Alfred put up with a lot. But it was nice to see. And it's like, this is why he gets away with what he does, because he's talented.
Yeah. You know? Another SGR moment for me was the conversation about the movie posters. And obviously they were referencing the Key and Peele movie Keanu. But if you recall, Bibby's like, do you know how many movie posters actually feature black people? None. Even the poster about a movie starring two black characters had the cat dressed up as a black person, but not an actual black person.
Yeah. He was right.
Yeah.
You know, which was funny, where it's just like, this is a character, you know, that you're poised to kind of love/hate, but he's actually, I mean, he's telling the truth. There were no lies in that statement.
No.
Which is why we all lost our minds over Black Panther, and still are.
Yeah.
Because it was unapologetically black.
Wakanda forever.
Yeah. Wakanda forever. I'm hoping that we kind of get back to form. I mean, I enjoyed Helen, and I enjoyed this episode because Brian Tyree Henry is extremely talented, and, you know, I love seeing him, but it kind of made me like, oh, Darius, you know, and they showed in the trailer, I think he'll be back.
Yes. Yeah, Darius and Tracy.
Yeah, I forgot about Tracy.
God, it's Tracy, yeah.
You know what would be an interesting episode is Tracy and Bibby. who I feel like know each other.
Oh my God. They probably do.
There needs to be like an origin thing where Bibi is showing him the gift card thing.
Because if you go to barbershop, there's always at least one guy who is fresh out of jail there. It just would make sense that Tracy knew Bibi beforehand.
Yeah, or like Bibi taught Tracy everything he knows. Or I could see Tracy finding out that Bibi is in town and is like, he owes me money. Like, wait, what? And Bibi like doing his disappearing act.
I don't know if they gave Bibi's son, the oldest son, a name.
Lamar.
Okay. When Lamar said, after insulting Paperboy, when he said, put me on, just like the guy in the other episode, I'm like, oh my God.
I love how they call back and it's like, yeah, this is still happening. You know, this is still, like, it's like all of the things to annoy Alfred. You know, it was just, I was like, okay, he didn't kill Bibi, but he's going to kill his son. I know he is.
Alfred is so emotional when he says, I'm a regular person.
Yeah.
He's really trying to drive that home. And then it also points out just how, again, how image conscious Atlanta is. Because the Lamar was saying, yeah, but you're a celebrity. Aren't you supposed to always look a certain way and act a certain way? But the pressure is on here to just be larger and better than life.
To stunt. I mean, but Alfred, I mean, he's aware of that because he gave Ern the same sermon. It shouldn't surprise him.
Thank you for listening. Rappin' Atlanta is recorded and produced by Nikki Ebo and Nita Charisse. Our theme music is Joy Clark's Galaxy Groove, performed by Joy Clark. You can follow this talented artist on Instagram at Joy Clark Music. Our show's artwork is created by Lasso Perez, creative director at Prime Vice Studios. You can follow Prime Vice on Instagram at Prime_Vice. You can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. You can follow Rappin' Atlanta on Instagram and Twitter at Rappin' Atlanta.